The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
But I love being out in nature. I especially love taking hikes. I love to walk out in the woods, someplace where I've never been before. And you know, you get to that spot where there's nothing around you but nature. You don't hear the roads. Around here, I'm able to hear 114. I'm able to hear the road. I hear the train going through Bluffton from here. But there are places in nature. And I remember one time we were in Georgia. And we're walking through this wilderness. And I get to the spot where there's nothing. I hear nobody. We are the only ones in this area. And I just stop. And I listen. And what I hear is, I can hear animals running in the underbrush. I don't see them, but I hear them. And I hear the leaves, as we can hear them now, if we stop and listen. You hear the leaves moving against each other and rustling in the wind. And I'm sure I heard some bigger animals, hopefully not bears, but they weren't out a little bit farther out. And I'm in awe of what God's creation and what He has done. And I like to get away to those places where I hear nothing else but God's voice in nature. The birds. Just heard the birds singing. There, by the way, there's this little bird in this woods, this campground. He's about this big, and he's got the biggest mouth in the world. I think he's a preacher. He's the preacher bird. That's what I'm calling him from now on. He is loud. And I'm just, God, isn't that amazing, Lord, that you give this little bitty bird this big voice? What it does for me, when I get out in nature, it helps me to appreciate. I look at God's creation differently. And then I start to think, I'm part of God's creation. He created me too, just like He created these trees. And He created the leaves and the birds and the animals and the grass. And I'm like, my perspective on nature changes, and it's a perspective that you cannot get in the middle of Ossian or in the middle of Fort Wayne or the middle of Bluffton. I think sometimes we lose our perspective of God's nature when we are in a city. So I think it's good for us to get outside of the church and outside of our normal routine of life and get into nature and experience what God has created. Now, I understand when I go hiking, and I love to hike, and I don't do it as much as I used to. What I used to do is we used to go hiking, and I always loved to go where there was a waterfall, you know? Because as you're walking through, you get to that point where you can actually hear the water, but you can't see it. And as you get closer, it gets louder. Louder. But as we hike, you know, there's important things you need to know. You need to take something. So, you know, you take some water. Water's important when you're hiking. Okay? So, this is my safety thing about hiking. Take some water. And then sometimes, you know, you take a little snack, something to give you energy. I've gone on hikes where I didn't have anything and I'm halfway through the hike. I'm like, I don't know whether I can make it the rest of the way. A little bit of energy helps. And it's always good if you're going out someplace where there's really no civilization that you have some way to communicate. I'm lucky I'm a ham radio operator. I can take this and I can, as long as there's some tower someplace or somebody someplace, I could usually get somebody. There's all kinds of things you do. But there are important things that you take with you. And then if you're going to go on a longer hike, of course, if you're going to go for an all-day hike, you better take a bigger backpack, right? You got to take food for a couple meals. And the first aid kit might be good just in case. So what I do is when you get prepared for a hike and then you go on it, and I think it's awesome because I'm always expecting God to show me something. I'm always thinking, God, show me what you want me to see on this hike. And that's what we're going to do. We want to do after the dinner, if you take the, where they're starting, just take that prayer walk. 10 stations, real simple. I've walked it twice now. We walked it last night about 9 o'clock at night in the dark. We had lanterns, but it was kind of neat, kind of spooky, but it was kind of cool. And we put them up, and it's great. So stop at those 10 spaces, pray at each of those spots, The only thing I concern, I want to warn you about is as you're coming back, there is a little bit of a steep grade to get back up on the road, but for most of us should be able to handle it. But I always want God to show me things. And just as when I'm hiking and I'm in nature, my attitude towards nature changes, you know, around the house, if there's a spider close to the house, I kill it. Around here, I don't kill it as much. I let Daddy Longleg crawl in. I only killed one Daddy Longleg. He was in the tent. The others, I usually pick him up because I love Daddy Longleg. I used to pick him up all the time as a kid. But my perspective has changed, and it's that same way. You know, we've been talking about the demands of Jesus and what he demands of us, and we talked about being born again, and we talked about repentance. And see, when we repent and we're born again, our perspective needs to change. We need to appreciate God more. See, too many times, you know, we focus on ourselves. The world wants us to focus on ourselves because the world wants to sell you something. Understand that. Materialism is only there because the world wants to sell you something. Amazon is not here to make you feel good unless it gets them more profit. Believe me, they get plenty of profit from me. Not that there's anything wrong with Amazon. I'm just saying that we have a tendency to get absorbed into our world and we miss this. Before we were born again, that's how we were. We lived life for ourselves and the things of this world. But when we accept Christ, he needs to become number one. He needs to become of utmost importance. See, when we're born again, or even right before we're born again, we add a lot of things onto our life. There are things we worry about. There are things that we put into our backpack to go through life. We have family. We have our job. We have our health. Music, food, sex, hobbies, retirement, entertainment. All these things we put in our backpack and we carry them into life. If you guys watched Pilgrim's Progress, the animated show, if you watch closely, you'll notice as he's traveling, his backpack grows and gets bigger and bigger. As we go through life, we're adding more things to our life that distract us from Christ. And I'm not saying it just because if you're a non-believer, that's what happens. I'm telling you, believers do that. We do the same thing. And our backpack gets bigger and bigger, and we're carrying this heavy load. And it's a wonder we can even carry it. But when God changes you, when he gives you a radical new birth and repentance, Jesus himself becomes your supreme treasure. All those things you're carrying in your backpack don't matter. They don't matter anymore. In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, look what Jesus says. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." I don't know about you, but I think that's everybody. I don't think that excludes anybody. Everybody in this sitting in this grass, even little Wrigley, is burdened and heavy laden. He's got his whole future ahead of him. He doesn't understand it yet. Mom and Dad are worried about him now. I mean, they're the ones carrying the load for him. But as he grows, he'll start taking that load on himself. Rachel, in high school, I mean, the load that's going to be laid on her as she gets out of high school and moves forward is heavy. My kids, as they grow. But Jesus says, "All who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Life is a heavy burden. It's heavy. I look back through my life and It is. It's been a heavy, heavy burden. And as I get older and my parents get older, and I'm sure most of you who have older parents, you understand that their burden becomes my burden. So I'm taking on more. And that's the way it should be. Don't try to take the burden away from me. Because that's what my mom will do. She says, "Well, I don't want to burden you." No, that's my responsibility.
But we take on so much. The church is a heavy burden for me. I am concerned for all of you. I'm concerned that all of you truly understand what it means, what I'm talking about today. I want everyone to understand that. But I take that on me. But see, when Jesus says, come to me, because my yoke is easy, he's not going to add more burden onto us. That's not what he's doing. When we come to Jesus and we lay our life at his feet, he takes that burden and he replaces it with himself. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that, well, since I came to Jesus, then now my parents are no longer my concern? No. But what it does mean, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, is that when I have to have Jesus in my life, when he is my number one thing that I'm concerned about, that I'm looking to, this burden may be heavy, but I can take it with joy. I still have the burden. I still have to do things. I still have to preach every week. I still have to take care of my family. I still have to think about my retirement. I still have to think about my hobbies, my enjoyment, the entertainment I want to do. All those things are in my backpack. I'm still got them. But Jesus says, let me carry it for you. Let me carry it up the hill. And find joy in me. And that's what we need to do. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. He tells us to come to the one who becomes everything to us. God's been telling me this recently, that, and it's interesting as I come up on this sermon that I wrote 4 weeks ago. Just recently, he's been teaching me, you know, you don't love me enough. You don't rest in me enough. And I'm like, yeah, I know. He says, well, duh, do it. Just do it. It's hard. But we need to trust in him who should be our number one priority. See, when Jesus came, when he came into the world, he didn't come to bring a new religion. He didn't come to bring us something new we had to do, some new law, some new kind of process we have to go through to reach God, to be back in our relationship with God. That's not what he did. It's the same old process that's always been there. We have to have faith. Abraham had faith, and it was credited him as righteousness. It's the same thing. He always has been the only way to God. But what he does do, he comes and he offers us eternal enjoyment. And he was willing to do whatever it would take, including his own death, to give us that enjoyment. And I think that's what we miss. We miss the joy. You know, like I said, when I'm out here, when I'm at home, I don't enjoy nature as much as when I'm out here. When I'm out here, I'm just like, oh man, aren't these trees green? Look at the bark. Look at the bark on the tree. Listen to the birds. Listen to the wind. I can't even see it, but yet it moves the trees. And look. The moon. When I'm carrying those heavy burdens of my life, I don't see that stuff. Jesus says in John 15:11, he says, these things I have spoken to you. Why? That my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be full. When was the last time you were with a bunch of Christians and their joy was full? Now, we were pretty close last night with the Yardsy. Except for Chris, who was struggling. It was awful. But I want to tell you, we had some joy last night. It was great being with everybody and playing some games and having some fun. It was joy. As much as my kids drive me crazy, I found so much joy in them this week. Watching them enjoy what they're doing. I keep asking them, are you having fun? Oh, yeah, Daddy. That's why I do this. But do we have joy? Do we really have the joy that Jesus has given us? Because he's offering it to us. And what he says, well, how do we get that? We get that because he says, come to me. And if we come to him, we'll experience a life that's full. and actually our lives will reflect His worth. If you're not experiencing the joy of Christ, I'll be honest with you, I don't think you've come to Him. You may have waved at Him, you know, guy going down the street, hey, there goes Jesus. Yeah, I know Him. No, you don't. You need to go to Him. You need to walk with Him. You need to be with Him. You need to experience Him. You need to take the load off your back and give it to Him, and He walks along with you. But you've got to have joy, because that's what He's offering to you. See, Jesus, He looked over the religions of the world at His time, and I think He looks over the religions of the world today. And He sees people who labor under really heavy loads. They believe that they can earn God's favor by doing the right things. If I do this, I'm good. If I go to church every week, I'm good. If I pray once in a while, I'm good. God says, no. Pray without ceasing. You should always want to talk to me. If you've got a really good friend, you always want to talk to them. And everybody goes about life, you know, trying to please the deity that they're worshiping. And some of us worship ourselves, or some of us worship the things of this world, the material things of this world. And Jesus is like, no, I'm coming to you. You don't have to do things like that for me. All you need to do is come to me. And you need to repent. And you need to be born again. And the amazing thing about that is, those aren't things that we do. Those are things that He gives us to do. He makes it possible for us to do them. He doesn't add burdens. He comes to carry the load that we have. Matthew 11:29 again says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We need to learn from Him. About here, Nathan, I learned so much from him. I love my kids are in the homeschooling. They're doing some science and they're learning things, and I love that. And I think that's how we should be with Christ. We should be learning from Him constantly. Look at the nature. Look at the tree, and just marvel at His creation. I want to reiterate. Now you must remember that Jesus does not come to us, take our burdens, and then leave us nothing to carry. We still have things to carry. There is a yoke and a burden when we come to Christ. There is a burden that we have to carry. I mean, if there wasn't a yoke, then there's no demand. But there is. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. One of the greatest obstacles, I think, to people coming to Christ and committing their lives to Him is that Christianity is challenging. I ask any of you who've been Christians most of your life, is it difficult to be a Christian? Yes. It's hard work. Living a life that's centered on Jesus is no walk in the park. It was never meant to be. Jesus Himself says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will. Not you might. You will. But have faith. Be strengthened. I have overcome the world. Come to me. My yoke is easy. Living our life to the fullest in Christ involves struggling. And sometimes we may wonder if the struggle's worth it. And believe me, God's a big God. He can handle you having a little doubt. It's okay to say, God, I don't know about this. He's okay with that. He'd much rather you doubt your walk with Him and go to Him and ask Him about it than to pretend that everything is just fine. It's hard. Matthew 7:14 says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. The way is hard that leads to life. The trail we're going to go on for the prayer walk is a pretty nice trail. It's open. But that's not necessarily how our lives are always going to be. It may be going through that right there. That might be your life. And then every once in a while it's like that. And then it gets to be like that again. Life is hard. But those who find it are few. Not everybody is going to find it. But see, understand, life is not hard because Jesus is a hard taskmaster. He's not. It's hard because the world is a hard place to find the joy of Christ. If you're looking for the joy of Christ in the world, you will not find it. It's a hard place to find the joy of Christ. You must find it in Him first, and then He'll bring it into your world. The skeptic will look at Christianity and they'll say, man, that's just, whew, I don't want to be like that. That's too hard. I'm not going to surrender. I like my life the way it is. What they don't see, and maybe it's because they have self-induced spiritual blindness, is that there is amazing joy in coming to Christ from our struggles in our Christian walk. When I am struggling in my walk, when I am struggling in my life, if I try to handle on my own, there's no joy. But when I go to Christ and say, okay, God, I'm walking through this. Help me. Take my burden. Give me yours, and we'll walk through this together. There's joy in that. Because I'm not doing it alone. And believe me, He gave us each other so we wouldn't have to do it alone. That's why I'm adamant that we talk to each other, that we pray with each other. We share our burdens with each other. That's why we're together. That's why we're here. But why don't non-believers see the joy? Because we don't show it. We, as Christians, do not show the joy of Christ in our lives. Now, I'm being pretty broad about that. There are some people who do. But as most part, it's hard to do, so we don't. We need to do it more. Because that's how people will know that Christ is real. Because you'll be going through some of the hardest times in your life, and they'll come and say, how are you doing? Man, it's tough. My spouse is sick. My children are, failing in school. But you know what? God is still good. He still loves me, and He's helping me get through it. Isn't that awesome? And I got to trust Him every day, and I don't make it every day. Some days I fail and I doubt. But you know what? He is always there. He does something. I see something that brings me back to Him. Instead, we say, this is bad and that is bad. And, here's the thing. You guys know, in my sermons, I'll talk about my kids. And my kids, I love to use them as object lessons because I've experienced it and I know it's real. And they do a lot of things that are crazy. But I want to tell you, they give me so much joy. And if I only talk about the struggles I have with them and I don't talk about the joy, how is anybody, people who don't have kids are going to say, I'm never having children. Right? So as believers, we need to talk about the joy we have in Christ in the midst of our struggles. And we need to bring people around us. He's fine. I think it's awesome. As long as He doesn't throw them at me. The joy that we have, we need to share that with people. Especially those who don't know Jesus. We don't express the joy that can be found in the trials of our lives. Joy that comes from trusting in Christ. See, the joy that we find in the trappings of this world, and I'm learning this more and more, and only because, and I've talked about this the last couple weeks, I'll talk about this again. I'm on a diet, and I used to find so much joy in food. And I mean joy, and I say food, and I'm using that term loosely, because it was donuts and processed food and cookies and crackers. And that's fine if you can eat that stuff. That's awesome. But I was finding so much joy in that. But you know, that joy was so short term. It didn't last. Now that I've changed my thinking and how I eat, I take a strawberry and it's fresh and I chew into it, and that is joy. That's what Jesus is like. The world does temporary joy, but God in His nature, in His creation, gives us true joy. The world gives you false joy. I love Amazon. I probably spend more in Amazon than anybody else sitting here right now. We can compare if you'd like.
I look back, I got a full record of all my purchases. I'm like, whoa. But it's convenient. I love it. But if that's where I find my joy, I've got a problem. Because it's only short term. And it'll cause other problems.
See, when somebody who rejects Christ, it's not that they're rejecting the joy, because they want joy. It's because they don't want joy enough to give up their old ways. And they look at Jesus and they say, look at us, and they say, man, being a Christian's a burden. You don't get to have any fun. Yeah, you do. You get to have a lot of fun. It's just different fun. But yeah, I'm not eating a donut, but man, I get to eat that strawberry. I had a cucumber this morning for breakfast. Oh, that was so crunchy and so delicious. Now, granted, a donut would have tasted real good, too. But we need to find our joy in Christ, and we need to show it. Jesus came to give us joy. He's not a burden. He's the burden lifter. He's the soul satisfier. He's the life giver. He says in John 10:10, he says, the thief, Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. But what does Jesus do? He says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Are you living an abundant life in Christ? Are you full of joy every day? Do you get up in the morning? Oh, what are you going to do today, God? When you begin your prayers, are you just... Good morning, God. Help me today. Blah, blah, blah. Are you, Lord, praise you. I praise you, Lord, for what you've done today, what you're going to do today, what you're going to give me. I praise you for the trials that I'm going to have. Because, Lord, you grow me through that. Help me. Help me get through it because I can't do it on my own. And at the end of the day, do you say, Lord, I praise you for everything you've done. Thank you for being my God and loving me enough to die for me and giving me all that you've given me. The ability to repent, the ability to grow, the ability to think, the ability to breathe. See, when we're out walking, water, it quenches our thirst. Jesus stood up in the middle of a festival. And the feast day, it was a great day. And Jesus stood up and cried, says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. When we come to Jesus, we're coming to drink him in. Just like if we're hiking, we're drinking, we're stopping at that spot and, oh, I feel so good. Refreshes us. Jesus says, that's what you're coming to do. But the difference is with Jesus, when we drink, we're drinking his fellowship and it gives us eternal life. When he was at the well, he's talking to the woman at the well, and he tells her, you know, can you give me some water? And she says, well, who? There's a Jewish man talking to me. That doesn't happen. But she's talking to him back and forth, and he says, now, this water that you drink, it won't satisfy you. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will come up with a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring of water. Talking about the joy. Springing out of joy. Overflowing. That's how we should be living. But it wasn't just leading us to obedience with images of life-giving water. He also promises that he'll give us life-sustaining bread. Because in John 6:35 it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now that's one kind of bread I get to eat. The bread of life. Other than that, all my bread is gone right now. But that's great. He gives me, he fulfills me, he feeds me. If I'm out on the trail and I stop to drink and I stop to eat, I'm satisfied and I can go on. But what Jesus gives me will last me for eternity. It's awesome. But we need to come to him. It's kind of like, you know, if I go out in the woods and I go out and I just keep walking and I get lost. And let's say I'm gone for a full day and I'm out of water and I'm out of food. See, if you reject Jesus, it's like the rescue squad finding me after a few days. And they come to me and they say, here, drink this water slowly. And I say, nope, sorry, don't want it. I don't need it. I got this on my own.
That's what happens when we reject Jesus and we don't allow him into our lives. And I'm not just talking about people who haven't accepted Christ. I'm talking about all of us. As believers in Christ, we can go and we can say, Jesus, nope, I don't need you. I got it.
We need to take that water and we need to drink it because it's from him, it's eternal life. We need to take the food that he offers us because it fulfills us, it sustains us. We can't reject him. The tragedy in our culture today is that people are embracing sin and spiritual blindness and refuse to come to Jesus. I mean, Jesus grieved over his people. In Matthew 23:37, he grieved over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I feel like a mother hen, how I've wanted to gather my chicks. But they rejected him. They're not willing. And the problem was the Jews of that day, and many like Christians today in some churches, and I'm sure there's some in this church too, they think they're safe, but they're fooling themselves. Jesus told them in John 5, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me. You refuse to come to me that you may have life. Why don't people come to Jesus? Well, they refuse to come. They want to come, but they're enslaved to the sin in their life. Jesus told us in John 8:34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The Christian life means change must take place. And it's the toughest type of change because we're going against our natural human nature. Just favorite line, we're human. And we have to fight that. We have to go against it. Jesus says, this is what will happen, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. God is trying to soften our hearts. As a believer, we need to have our hearts softened. And this leads to the tough fact about Christianity that in order to come to Jesus, we have to face the fact that we are fallen, that we are not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We're not what we ought to be. And coming to Christ reminds us of that fact. And instead of being humble and saying, yes, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I need you. In our pride, we rob ourselves of the true joy we need to have. And that's a modern tragedy of our day. We live in an age of self-sedation. We live in an age where we're searching for the next big high, the next like, the next retweet. Retreat. I don't know if that's right. Retweet. Yeah, retreat. I think retreat. Retreat. Yeah. The next retreat, we chase sex, drugs, possessions, entertainment. All these things never will satisfy like Christ will. But there is a cure, and that's Jesus. And he came into the world, and he came into the world to gather to God those that God had given him. John 11:52 says, not for the nation only, not just for Israel, but also to gather unto one of the children of God who are scattered abroad. He gave his life not just for the Jews, but for us. Because in John 10:16 says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so they will be one flock, one shepherd. We will be joined together with Israel one day. The Israelites who believe in Christ. And we... It's interesting, if you study Romans, if you really study Romans, Romans is intent, we are believers in Christ because God wanted to make Israel jealous. And one day, our job is to make Israel jealous and to take care for God's people. And in that process, we get to be adopted and become like the Israelites and have Jesus as our one shepherd. I don't know, he can use me however he wants as long as I can be with Jesus. Call to Jesus is to life everlasting, from the everlasting man, and life in Christ comes with everlasting joy. It doesn't exist to make you happy. Understand, Christianity does not exist to make you happy. It exists to bring you joy. So when Jesus says, come to me, I pray that your eyes will be open, that you'll see Jesus as irresistibly true and beautiful. Because that's what he is. Just like his nature. Romans tells us that man is without excuse. From the foundations of the world, God's nature, his characteristics have been presented to us. We can't deny it. And he says, come to me. I pray that you'll hear his command the way Lazarus did. Lazarus had been in the tomb. And Jesus comes and he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walked out. And what does Jesus say? And I find this pretty amazing. What he says. I never really caught this until I was writing this sermon. Because Lazarus comes out and he is wrapped. He is bound. His legs and his hands are bound. He's able to barely walk out. And what does Jesus say? It says in John 11, unbind him. Let him go. Now how does that relate to today? When Jesus says, come to me, he's saying, unbind you from the things of this world. Unbind you from the heavy burden you're carrying. Unwrap that thing on your back that's holding you down. He will take it. You are being freed from all of that. Come out to true joy that comes from Jesus only, who carries our burdens. Take up his light yoke by saying yes to him and no to the world. When we come to Jesus like that, we cannot cease to praise him and thank him for his sovereign grace. Do you have joy? Do you express the joy that comes with Christ? Has he called you? And have you heard him? And I'm not saying that, you know, when you answer him and when you go to him, everything is perfect, and everything is great, and I've released all my burdens. Guess what? I have to unpack that pack and give it to him. One at a time. And he takes that on him. And I don't know about you, but man, that pack is awful hard to unpack sometimes. Because I want to hang on to those things. Because I find comfort in those things and security in those things in my life. But what I think is joy is nothing more than burden. What I need is true joy that comes only by going to him. That's what God's been showing me in nature today and yesterday and the day before. Find your joy in Christ. And don't just keep it bottled up. Don't take the joy and put it in the backpack. Wear it on you so the world can see. Because that's the only way the world's going to know. It's by seeing the joy of Christ in you. And they'll know that he is real. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we know that you are full of joy, and you have all that joy for us. You want us just to come to you, to lay our burdens at your feet, and for you to take them and to give us yours. You and with you are light. You're not even a real burden, but we take it. We should carry it, so, and you walk with us with our burdens. No, nobody does that for us. Not like you, who came and died for us. Gave us repentance so that we may be born again, and then we can come to you at all times in our life and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I surrender to you. Give me joy in the midst of my trials. Give me joy in the midst of my struggles. Help me to let go of my pride. Help me to praise you every day.
Lord, as I prayed at the beginning, open our eyes and our hearts with the nature all around us to your words. We praise you and we thank you. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
And you think about surrendering to you and coming to you, it's easy out here. It's going to get harder when we go back into our daily lives. Not impossible, just harder. Which means we need to rely on you more and more and more. We need to come to you daily. It's not just I've come to Jesus, I'm done. It's a daily, daily coming to you and surrendering. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to see how worthy you really are and experience life and abundantly that you offer us. When we thirst, you give us drink. When we hunger, you give us the bread of life. Nobody offers that to us like you do. It is all about you. Help us to place you first in our lives. Help us to make it about you. Help us to put aside the things of this world. And to love you. And to love those around us with a supernatural love. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.